Our reading for today is recorded in the first letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians, the fourth chapter, beginning with the 13th verse. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Many years ago, I had a young man that was taking kind of an adult instruction class at the church I was serving. He was only doing it because his wife had asked him to. He could care less about religion and about church and about God. He thought it was all pretty irrelevant and meaningless. And he said, you know, to be honest with you, I've never really thought about God much. I think it's a ridiculous thing that people spend a lot of time on. He said, the only time in my life I actually thought about God once was one night when I was nearly in a car accident. My car slid on some ice and I was heading into a large wall. This was up in the Spaghetti Junction interchange up in Minneapolis. And he said I was just about ready to crash, which he did, and ended up in the hospital. He said, I just remember for a brief moment thinking about God right then. Isn't that interesting what death does to us? How death makes us look differently at things. Death is all around us. Right here in Mankato, there are dozens and dozens of cemeteries. Every day in the newspaper, there are obituaries. To think as you walk through graveyards that you're standing just feet of dirt above dead bodies. And then to think, where's my place in this world going to be someday? Where's my body going to rest someday? What am I going to look like inside of my coffin 100 years from now? When we start thinking about our own death and making it real to ourselves and, in a sense, personalizing it, it's pretty intimidating. It can make us pretty fearful. Today I would like to have the concept of death in front of us and, looking at our text, use a parallel story from the Old Testament to teach us some things about looking at your own death someday and going through that. I'd like to use the very familiar story of how God spared the children of Israel when he brought them out of Egypt and how he had them pass through the waters of the Red Sea. If you remember in that story from the book of Exodus, it's a wonderful story how this large band of people had been brought out of slavery from Egypt. God delivered them. And as they now went out into the wilderness, there were maybe between 1 and 2 million of them. And the Egyptian army was pursuing them. We're told that there were 600 choice chariots coming after them, and many other of the best chariots, and the full army of Pharaoh, the great superpower of Egypt of the day, was pursuing the children of Israel as they went out into the wilderness. You can just imagine all of these people trekking now through the sand and the desert and then coming to the waters of the Red Sea. We're told that the Lord provided a large cloud that on the one side was darkness and on the other side was light so that they could see at night. And that fateful night as they came up to the waters of the Red Sea, God commanded Moses to stand and stretch out his hand and to cause the waters to part. Now, I can imagine someone coming up to walk through that new channel that God had created. It might have looked about as wide as the chapel here, and the walls of water may have been about that high. I always wonder as a kid, could you see fish in the walls? Wouldn't that be bizarre to see fish swimming as you're walking through this wall of water? But just imagine now going on dry land through that. And I can imagine, if I was a little kid, I bet I'd be scared. I bet I would have been pretty intimidated. It's kind of like how death is for us. It's kind of a fearful thought. This is the unknown. This is something we've never seen before. This is something that's so new to us, and it looks so intimidating. It looks so much like it could just crush us. And yet we're told in that wonderful story that the children of Israel walked that through that night. Just think of this mass of people, million plus people, going through on dry land. In fact, we're told that the land was so dry that you could not see their footsteps. Did that ever make it obvious that this was the Lord's doing? This wasn't some fluke. And God had given them his gracious promise through the mouth of Moses that they could walk through those walls. Now, I can imagine parents that night having to say to their children as they're going along on the dry ground and the kids are looking at these walls of water around them, I can imagine parents saying, "There's nothing to be afraid of. Keep looking ahead. You're going to make it. It's going to be all right." Maybe even some adults having to say that to each other. And that's how the Holy Christian Church is in this world too when it comes to death. God would have us encourage each other. Say, "It's going to be okay. We're going to get through this. It looks intimidating. It's something we've never seen before. We may approach it with great trepidation, but because of Christ, because of the Lord leading us, because of what our Savior has done for us, the one who's gone through death himself and risen victoriously on the other side, he now promises us that we can do the same. Keep your eyes focused ahead. Don't be afraid." And I would assume that as people got just to the other edge of the shore that day and saw others right ahead of them going up on the dry land and all celebrating their safety, I imagine that people started thinking to themselves, "What in the world was I so afraid of? Why was I so worried?" And so it will be for the believers in Christ who go through death, that as we finally come out the other side and see the glories of heaven, we're going to say to ourselves, "Why was I so worried about this?" Now think what a contrast that event was that night for the Egyptians who followed them down into the water, who maybe went boldly into that channel thinking nothing was going to happen to them and thinking they were fine. And yet we know that God had Moses again raise his hand over the waters, and the waters now, those walls came and crushed them. We're told that the children of Israel on the other side in safety looked back and saw in the morning hours, saw the carnage of all of these dead soldiers and horses and chariots floating up on the shore, probably like the beaches of Normandy, to see all of those dead bodies of the soldiers. And for them then, for the Israelites to realize what a blessing it was to have listened to the word of God and to have been led by him through this very thing. How different death will be for those who enter its waters without Christ. How hopeless it will be. How destructive it will be. Why in the world would any one of us want to leave this life and head into Judgment Day without trusting in what Christ has done for us? In the middle of all of this event, we see the great figure Moses standing, talking to the people, to the children of Israel, and saying to them, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. This is the work of the church in your life right now as a Christian. You're looking ahead at death. You're intimidated by it. It's something we've never gone through. It looks like it should be frightening and terrifying. But because of Christ and his powerful resurrection, you and I have the promise from the Almighty God who controls all things that we will get through it safely. In fact, Jesus himself says to those who believe in him, you will never see death. You will never actually experience and taste its pain." And so we still come up to the shores of our own death with some fear and trepidation. But here stands the church through the means of grace, through God's word and sacrament, saying to us, "Don't be afraid. You're going to get through it. Just trust in the Lord with all your heart." And so we can say with all of the faithful through this world and through the history of humanity, all of those who have faithfully held on to their Savior, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." You can imagine the celebration that took place on the other side when the Israelites finally were spared. Think of the celebration we're going to have in heaven to have come through the event of our own deaths. We can read the words of that celebration. Take your hymn book out. Take your hymn book out and turn to page 195 in the front part of your hymn book. Page 195. This is the great song of praise that the Israelites sang and spoke to God on the day of their deliverance. Down on the bottom where it says the Canticles, the Cantimus Domini, Song of Miriam and Moses. Please join with me. Let us rise. We'll use this as our closing prayer today. Please join with me as we just speak together the words of that great song of praise. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemy in pieces. And in the greatness of your excellence, you have overthrown those who rose against you. You sent forth your wrath. It consumed them like stubble. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? You in your mercy have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation. You will bring them in and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which you have made for your own dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen.